Welcome to Chad Watch, everybody. Got a great show today. I'm Chris Silva, and my co-host, as always, Kyle Miller over here. Oh, you're muted there, bro. It's all right. But hey, we got a...
What's up?
Cool. There you go, man. Yeah. Sweet. So we got a great guest today. We got Kim Schaub, formerly of Rise, and now with Upliftin and Processor and Concentrate brand out of the UP. And I first met Kim actually on my first, before I actually started working for Redemption, me and Ryan went and did a tour of the UP. I guess it probably would have been about a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago, it was last summer. And Kim was working as like the, maybe not inventory lead in title, but was definitely the person in charge of purchasing and shit over at Rise. And that's how I met her, my first swing through there. And I ended up getting the Rise stores as my stores that I service and help out and stuff. And so I worked with Kim throughout almost a year and did a lot of purchasing. Rise is, full transparency, one of our biggest customers, and so we did quite a lot of business together and ran a lot of nice promotions and got a lot of product out to a lot of people all over Western UP. And we've had a good friendship, and Kim's definitely somebody that I can like call and just kind of see how the market's going, get some good input. And it's been a good friend to both me and my wife. So just thank you so much for coming out on the show today, Kim.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure. You know, I support you guys. Like, I love your show. I love Redemption. Man, that party last weekend too. The Jute Joint, you guys, like, it was just amazing. It was magical. It just looked like a magical sight out in the woods. It was a dream.
No, for sure. Thanks for reminding all of us. Yeah, it was great seeing Kim and so many people on Saturday at the Juke Jamboree. It was a fundraiser for the Redemption Foundation. I think we raised Nate just told us, but I want to say like $23,000 or something.
$23,000. Yep. We were able to raise $23,000.
Awesome. And so that's to go into the efforts that the foundation and Glenn and all of us have been pushing for since the inception of the company. And it was a great time to just get a chance to hang out and see all of our, you know, friends and people we have relationships with, business relationships. And big shout out and thank you to the whole Liskey family and local roots for having such a great venue and inviting us into their family home barn, you know. And like, it was really a really great time. And Kim, people like you for coming, driving, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours down to come see us, you know, that was super awesome. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, Chris, like, the Redemption Foundation is definitely something I can stand behind, right? Like, so my background is in theology. I'm working on my master's right now, Christian theology specifically. I'm worried about the dignity of human beings, right? It's cannabis. I always say there's been a lot of drama over the last 50 years that's created a lot of trauma for us people, right? Like, we can't
open. Absolutely.
Yeah, right? And so, you know, it's just been a big blessing for me after spending the whole year in Rise's vault working on inventory and learning metric and leaf logics and, you know, the whole gamut of working in a dispensary that does that high volume, you know, turning big numbers weekly and making sure the shelves are filled with new fresh products. So you got a wide variety out there in the market, enjoying just checking out who, you know, for me, I was passionate about always selling caregiver background, you know, the guys that came from Michigan, like Drew, you know, from Driven, you know, the people, Tom Beller, you know, these guys are growing in Michigan, you know, 10 years ago and came in the market legally with medical licenses, got the money, did a great business plan to have recreation licenses, start moving their product in the recreation market. You know, there's so much other product out there from big excessive growers, but it's the guys that come from Michigan that I'm fond of. It's the activism in Michigan that I'm fond of, you know, and it seems like our community, the people that have dignity and morals and care about getting the medicine to the people at fair market prices, we just like have serendipitously like found one another, you know. Josie you know, yourself and Joss, Ryan, Ryan's a great networker for bringing those good people together. And that's exactly what the Jamboree was over the weekend. And for me to finally get downstate and interact with everyone else in the market here and be able to understand and share the information that we've learned and experienced in the market, it's just, like, I just can't stop grinning. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm free. Free as legal weed in Michigan right now. Let's talk about it. Let's educate each other. Let's give the people the best product at the best prices, because otherwise we're just like the typical political greedy American idea that, you know, people don't care about people and they just care about the almighty dollar.
No, for sure. I mean, that sums it up like basically perfect. I mean, I think there's like a, you know, like everyone lives in reality. We all have to like do things to make money. But I think that there's a way to do things the right way and to be upholding like a basic set of values and morals that I think are pretty universal to people of all faiths and all, just like being good to each other. And yeah, so I think that that's something that I've always really, really, really liked about you and admired about you, Kim, and definitely something that I like would like to think I try to, you know, strive to live my life by and do my business and activism. I know Kyle the same way. So definitely I'm super stoked to have you on today and get your perspective, because we definitely, me and Kyle, have been talking about it. We have some questions where we think getting your perspective would be interesting. But before we get into that, we wanted to do a little bit of a news announcement, I guess, for everybody. So like last week we started to hear some rumors that potentially the MCMA has kind of been disbanded, or I don't know that that's true. No, that's not what I'm announcing.
I would say some of the largest members and largest contributors are second guessing.
Yeah. They're like, oh, my money, what's going on? Yeah.
You know, this is very bad for my pocketbooks.
Yeah. This has been fucking up. So, you know, I just, and I've been cleared to talk about this. So a few days after the last show on Tuesday, somebody from Flourish in Grand Rapids, one of their employees reached out to me and was like, hey, like, how's it going? You know, and it was through the Chad Watch podcast, Facebook too. So like, not like me individually, like they definitely knew what was up, you know, like, and they were like, hey, like, you know, we should talk. And so anyways, in the conversation with them, I was like, hey, I've heard that you guys are on the outs with the MCMA. Is this true? Yeah, they confirmed pretty enthusiastically, like, yeah, that's definitely true. Like, that's the case. They told me that I can tell all you guys. And I think that I'm seeing that they're telling the people that are purchasing and for other, like, you know, people who have Kim's job, like, Kim, whoever your replacement is in at Rise, I'm sure got an email from Flourish that was like, hey, what's up? It's us. By the way, we're not in the MCMA anymore. So obviously, like, they know that was probably like a...
killing them.
Yeah, they probably know that was a bad move. And like, I've been pretty upfront when I have conversations with people there. Like, this is where most of the bad will comes from. Is the MCMA stuff, the caregiver stuff. I mean, like the bad weed, that's not awesome either, but that's not like, you know, you're not necessarily like you're not like Saddam Hussein because you grow mids, you know what I mean? Like there's plenty of nice people that grow mids and there's some assholes who grow some straight fire, you know what I mean?
Like, especially if you're not hiding behind the fact that it's mids. Like if you grow some shit that's not that great and you say, hey, I got this dirt cheap shit that's not that great and I'll sell it to you for, you know what I mean? That's different than disguising it as a pretty Mylar pack for $22.50 an eighth or some shit like that. Like,
yeah,
not gonna fly.
Yeah, so you know, this is the ounce costs less than $100. It's probably, you know, outdoor.
Yeah, man, like you get what you pay for. It's always been the and it's, I think it's been a pretty universally
consumerism.
Yeah, like that's how. Like, so I also don't think that people are necessarily expecting to get gold when they're getting shit that cheap. It just has to be like a little bit better than complete stepped on trash, you know. But so yeah, so anyway, so I think this is hey, so I think everybody who's watching or listening, like, keep up all of the pressure and everything that people have been doing. Cause honestly, like, something is working. Like, the companies are starting to understand that, like, oh man, people don't like this shit. You know, like when you beat up on the community, or you have like a
try to take people's rights away.
Yeah, try to take people's rights away, or you try to like just shit all over the stuff that's already kind of like established there and stuff. Like, people don't like that. And especially now with the market the way it is, it's bringing the prices down. In my opinion, it's bringing the prices down to the point that the kind of people that are entering the market as consumers, they're people like us, man. They're people that have a plug and or have a caregiver or something. And like, they, it's finally cheap enough on the legal market to bring us in. You know, like, I can go to Allswell and buy a $90 eighth of archive hash rosin as a med patient. That's insane. You know what I mean? Like, I can't, the street can't compete on that. And it's happening across almost every market SKU, you know, like concentrates, live pens, like distillate cartridges, all this shit. Like, you can go to almost any dispensary and get it like so cheap, like flour is so cheap. And I think that it's finally competitive for people like us that had plugs and stuff. And I think that these guys are realizing, like, hey man, like the people that I have to keep happy isn't just rich soccer moms now and mm-hmm. people that don't have a plug. Now it's people who know about weed and shit and have access to more options. And if I'm gonna survive, I absolutely have to not be seen as an asshole, you know?
Right. Especially in a market like Michigan, like you mentioned, there's a lot of options and stuff, but also we have an educated consumer here, much more so than other states. 10 plus years of people experimenting with home grows, up to 72 plants in a lot of cases, which is unheard of in other states. It's just trained our palates a little more than other places. And when these bigger guys or out-of-state guys try to come in and push a bunch of boof, it's no wonder they're reconsidering some of the decisions they've made. If you grow shit weed and try to take people's rights away at the same time.
Yeah, it can only do the one or the other, you know. Yeah, you know, you're either gonna grow shit weed or so I'm hoping that this is like the first domino to fall. I'm hoping that it's this and then it's the Veritas stuff next, you know. Like, I know that I continue to be one of the last people to die on this hill, but like, it's the scummiest shit in the world to test with these guys. And anybody who does it, I'm for sure going to tell them that about it, that I don't like that. And I think you're a scumbag piece of shit for doing it. I know that people are out there doing it right now, but like, I don't know, man, like the extra THC just isn't worth being a complete sellout to the community that built this industry for all of us. In my opinion, I'm just a guy who takes dabs on the internet though. And is going to be the next director of the fucking CRA, you know?
Yeah. Especially at this point in the market though. Like, I understand if maybe 10 months ago you got hustled into taking one of the free tests from Veritas. We'll give you 6 free tests to try us out. You know, there's a lot of guys that don't have a lot of capital when they start, and they were like, okay, you know, we'll try this free test. And then maybe got suckered into paying for it one or two times. But then ultimately we had the recall and everybody was made aware of what's going on. And to continue to make those decisions after we know what's going on and how the kind of rule book has been tipped in their favor and some of the crazy shit scores we've seen. Well, now you're making a conscious decision to be a douchebag. And there's no other way to put it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm thinking that shoe's going to drop on some sort of recall or something. One day. So anyways, moving on. Kim, why don't you tell us a little bit about... Oh,
2.0, Chris?
What's
November,
that?
A November 2.0.
What's that?
November 2.0, the recall last year.
Oh, yeah. Like the... Well, not the Trump one, but the
Veritas recall.
The Veritas recall. Yeah, like that. And that and just like the lawsuit, you know, that happened afterwards where they sued to put this shit back on the shelves, which, ooh, gross, they won. And so I think like there's more to this story, right? I think in a few years, whenever more information comes out, like, we're going to know that there's some other back fight or something with the state and Veritas, but you know, so that's another show, a way more intense one.
So I support you in your activism and you stand firm on your beliefs. And that's why you and I get along so well, right? So there's a reason why you have that gut feeling that says, hey, I don't know if I can trust these guys. I don't know if I should trust these guys. Listen, everything that I've studied, ancient wisdom, been around the world, studied some ancient cultures, some current cultures, economics, socialism, everybody gets mad politically. Listen, us cannabis users, we are more inclined to seek out peace and unity amongst ourselves, okay? We're not trying to fight. We're not inviting people to the table and then filling our plates and then leaving only scraps to the people down at the other end that we're working on, right? But there's people of all financial levels, and we have to cater to them as, in my opinion, people providing medicine. Okay, even if you don't have an illness, you still are self-medicating. Cannabis has just decreased the amount of people turn into heroin. You know, it's been an easier transition to get you unaddicted to your narcotics that you take for your broken leg or whatever. You know, it's the statistics are there. People are using cannabis to get off of heroin, to stay off of the other drugs, and it's working. You know, and so you want to give people affordable things that rise. You know, that's something that I'll always like treasure being a purchaser. How cool is it that you get every vendor brand coming at you saying, look what I have, this is what I have, this is what I have. And it's like, you know, as a purchaser, it sometimes can be overwhelming. You know, Tom Beller said to me, he goes, Kim, you're the belle of the ball. And I'm like, I don't want to be the belle of the ball, but at the same time, it's like, well, you kind of do, because you're running a big enough store and everybody has something. But here's the thing, even the belle of the ball is not going to always be married the next morning to somebody for life, right? You want to build great partnerships like Rise and Redemption, Rise and Upliftin', you know, Upper Michigan brands. Sticking to each other, that's about community, taking care of the community. And people in the community are young, poor, old, rich, you know, you have it all. So you got to find the diversity in the products where you can also provide that price point that the business can flourish, afford to employ. I think Rise employs 40 people in the city of Iron Mountain alone, and then, you know, they've got their Gaylord location, Marquette, opening Ironwood. You know, you've got Upliftin' and Crystal Falls has 9 people on their payroll. Look at, I don't even know how big Redemption and Driven are, a couple of my favorite companies. You know, it's like all these big guys, you don't have to buy from the big guys if you don't want to. You don't have to buy from the companies that are part of the, you know, activism group that are against the caregiver background guys. What is it, MCMA?
Yeah. for now, I mean, who knows? I mean, they could be close to dead.
But I'm saying, you know, if you look good enough, like there's Michigan people there that you can support. There's Michigan veterans. There's Michigan people with disabilities. Like, look at the people that are on medical marijuana in Michigan and what they do. I've never seen anybody work so freaking hard as Josie and Brenda. Like, you know, just watching the two of them stay from beginning to end and just so resilient and so strong. And then you look at people that don't feel blessed every day for what they have and to be where they're at in this industry. You know what I'm saying? But there's a lot of people that aren't being blessed. Look at all the layoffs, all the people suffering, you know, and it's the big farms. And then, you know, in Iron Mountain, we have 2 dispensaries. And I always get mad at my mom because she'll go to the only other dispensary other than in Iron Mountain. And I'm just like, you know, that's not right. You shouldn't shop there. That's not, that place isn't cool. But you're all trying to get along with everybody ultimately too. You know, I'm not here.
Yeah, people are going to make, like, a lot of it comes down to economics too, you know? So that's like one of the things too, that, like, it's like you said, and something that's not lost on me, you know, is that, like, for, it's easy for some people, like people literally give me weed. Like when I go, you know what I'm saying? Like, and almost everywhere I go, you know what I'm talking about. So like, it's easy for me to be like, yeah, I'm never going to spend a penny on Viridis or any of these companies. 'Cause like, you know, I can be a little bit pickier about it, and it's not like a big deal. But like for some people, they're like, I don't know, man. Like I need the fucking $100 ounce because like I have to budget this out. You know what I mean? Like
100%.
Like they're like my job isn't to sit around and smoke weed all day, bro. So like you know I basically like I'm a real person, and I have to, you know, I can only spend this much money.
Exactly.
I'm gonna get as much as I can for this amount of money, you know.
Right. I got chronic pain. I'm not making that much money, you know. It's like you're budgeting everything you got. My mom's on Social Security, you know. Her name was on the petition. She sat in the corner of her yard back in, 2006, getting medical, you know, signatures for medical cannabis. I grew up with her smoking flower. She gave it to me at 9 years old for migraine headaches with hyperemesis and bronchitis and, you know, getting like the cure-all, like. And then you just end up using it because you need it. You know, I suffered some accidents, some physical damage and pain, and I have PTSD and anxiety, you know, I suffered some really traumatic experiences throughout my life. So ended up getting diagnosed with fibromyalgia in the mid 90s. And just, you know, I wake up in the morning, have some good indica, and I'm just have a cup of coffee and off I go. I just, you know, that's why this transition for me is like, I love Rise. I love the employees at Rise, but it's like, oh, I just couldn't sit there anymore. It's like other people could sit inside there and do what I was doing, you know?
Yeah. Retail is a tough grind too. That's kind of a good segue too. So why don't you tell us about, if you don't mind, and I do have some more like purchasing questions, but I think it can be more of like a generalized Q&A. Why don't you tell us about the new company that you work for now. And one of the things that we've been talking about in general is trying to do a better job about not just pointing out all these assholes. Cause it's easy to see that anyone can like, just look at what's going on and be like, yeah, you know, these guys are kind of pricks and stuff, but like the, what do you do? Cause you're still going to be a consumer and participate in the market, and you're still going to smoke weed and shit. And if you're,
yeah,
most of the consumers that we're talking about, if you're buying it from the store. So we want to highlight the people that are that are doing it good. And I know like you were ready for a change out of retail into wholesale, and kind of something that allowed you to travel more and be more just kind of do a different thing every day more, and kind of develop relationships, and which I think is one of your core competencies, you know. So like I think that would be it makes sense. So if you wouldn't mind just kind of talking us through that and telling us about the company and why you feel very strongly and kind of how it's going.
Yeah. So last year as a purchaser, young guy, Nick comes walking in the door, and he's got a really cool hard case with him, and this young, nice, humble guy. And he's like, this is what I make, and this is what my background is. And he had, you know, he's a brilliant chemical engineer, great background, like humble father and raised by a single mom, and had this fire product. So when I started purchasing, right, the only THCA diamonds I saw on the market were by Relief Center, Niles. And we sold a bunch of them at Rise, and we were selling them, you know, they're quite expensive. And then all of a sudden they disappeared and we couldn't get them anymore. And I was shopping all over LeafLink looking for a good product. And Nick opens up this briefcase and starts pulling out these different products that he processes, and he makes concentrated cannabis products. And I was just really floored because the chunks of diamonds that he showed me in these, you know, in this beautiful packaging that just displayed amazing. And we just talked, and he, you know, told me what he did, and he started out with hemp and CBD in Wisconsin. And when he saw that cannabis was going recreationally legal, they're really savvy. He found a good buddy of his, Spencer, is a retired Army captain and did most of his work in Africa. They went in as business partners. Nick's kind of the you know, chemist behind the product, and Spencer organizes. He's the business operations, and they just have a great team. They had a great operation going and a great product. And so we started doing business at Rise and just started steadily growing. And Uplifting has an amazing product. It's pretty much all over Upper Michigan. but there's a lot of areas in the Mitten that we really are hopeful to get into, and the customers are wanting it. I'm wearing my Hoxie t-shirt right now. That was a good time too. Uplifting was a sponsor there. That was my first weekend working with the team. So yeah, I mean, they just have an amazing product with fair market prices. The guys know who I am. We've worked together for a year, and it just almost seemed natural when I started looking for someplace else to go and shopping around for new jobs and had a couple of offers, but these guys were right in my backyard. And they also have this half and half jar where they put diamonds or live resin or cured resin on the other side, and they were smart enough to patent it. And so it's going to be a product as well, unlike anything else in the market. So right now I feel like their full spectrum diamonds are terpy and tasty, and their THCA diamonds are clean and about as pure medicine as you can get. So I've been having a great time introducing people of all ages to the product, because the awesome thing is I see you using your Puffco. Chris, like at Hoxie, we had like 5 Puffcos and the gravity bong, and I had the baby boomers out there coming in, and I was like, try this. And they're like, no, we haven't done gravity bong since college. And I'm like, listen, this is nothing like that. You're going to like have control over how much you intake. And I said, you're going to exhale just clean white smoke.
Wait, were you giving them a bong of dabs though?
Because that's diamonds. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that totally fucking negates like the not having a harsh bong thing. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? You're like a bunch of like 60-year-old accountants and shit. And they're like, yeah, I smoked flower in 1987, you know? And then like, you're just popping them off like a half gram dab of THCA in a gravity bong.
In my opinion, they're the guys that can afford the Puffco, the investment for that one shot big medicine dose, right? Yeah,
I hear you. No, that's awesome. I'm glad that you landed somewhere where it seems like the culture is good. How are they on testing? Who do they test with?
Cambium.
Okay. All right.
Cambium Analytics. Yeah.
Sweet.
Cool.
Yeah, I got to meet one of the lab guys yesterday. Super cool. And I was like, yeah, I was just down the kids with the guys in the lab. They're all younger. There's a couple older ladies. Packaging is she gives some shout outs to the team up at Uplifting and Rise. We love you guys.
Oh, awesome. We just love to see you guys using like a reputable lab and not taking the easy way out on, well, I guess on the concentrate. Hey, still not, thanks. Just we're not using Viridis and stuff. Can you tell us like a little bit about your
specific role?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what are you doing over there?
Yeah. So, well, these guys, okay, so these guys had a great product that they were making. They didn't have any problems obtaining biomass product to make their product, right? And then they had this great team together to package and produce the products, but they were using a broker. And, you know, there's a lot of talk in the industry of how brokers don't really give the accounts the attention that they deserve. I know personally of 2 brokers in the state. It's something I've considered doing. There's a need for downstate flower products to be introduced to the market in the UP, as well as vice versa. The UP people are wanting their products introduced down in the Mitten. And there seems to be a disconnect there. And I've had overwhelming response to this is something we need, something that should happen. But
can you explain like what a broker is to people if they might not know? Because this is actually a topic we definitely wanted to hit on with you, because you and I have talked about brokers and whether or not that's good. And Kyle, I know you and I have independently also talked about this, and I think all of us actually have the same perspective on the negative part of it as being all of us doing retail purchasing. I think we can all agree. I would get fucking pissed when a broker would hit me up, because I would be like, why wouldn't I just go to the original, this is metric now. I can just go to the plug on it. Like, you're implying that like, am I not getting as good of a deal? You know, that's the number one con, I think. I'm just going
to
put
it does make you feel confused at first. Like,
yeah,
you want to look at their prices and go back to the Leaflink price and see if there's an upcharge.
It turns me into like an investigator. You know what I mean? And it's probably my own like paranoia. You know what I mean? So I'm like,
sure.
What the fuck? And so then it just kind of, I think, sets me off. So anyways, can you explain like what that is to people and like how this works and like how it would be for brokers? And then, I'm sorry, not to cut you off, but you know.
Yeah, no. I hear you. So there's a lot of issues. Okay. So I hear you about the prices, and right now the company that I'm with, the prices on Leaflink do not reflect the prices that we're charging. So from what I've done with my research, here's the thing. Brokers usually take a larger percentage of commission, right? Say 8%.
And they would carry more than one brand, right? And that's the thing, I think.
Correct. Yes. They could carry as many brands as they wanted. But here's the problem. The brands are afraid that the broker doesn't represent their brand accurately, correct? Like, who's going to be the ambassador to go out and do vendor days and represent their brand?
Yeah, that's a fair.
Taking on their brand, how many more brands are you taking on? And are you equally distributing attention to all of those brands, right? So I've looked at it from multiple viewpoints as well. From a purchaser, sure, I don't want to pay somebody else. But from someone who has purchased and has worked with the small guys, smaller companies like Parker Farms, Detroit Bug Company. I mean, you know, there's a lot of them.
I agree. I think that's what I think too, is there might be like a niche where like and so I also think that a broker, for it to work out, they need to have some level of exclusivity, right? So like if with that manufacturer, like if somebody came to like the for example, and Kyle, I know you're not affiliated with this group anymore, but like to the Easton Crafts of the world and like Casey's Grow at Farmhouse, like those folks, and like a lot of the really small operators or niche, you know, or like, you know, who else, Kyle, Kate from Old Dune, you know what I mean? Like someone who like was like, hey, I'm gonna like go take you guys as like basically the equivalent of fucking metric overages, you know, and I'm gonna take them up to the UP or wherever, not your market, and sell them. Like, that broker would have actually, like, that's some value. Because for the right store, for the right person, you're like, okay, I can buy all this shit that's from, you know, downstate or up to wherever, not from here, that no one else around me has. And I can get it at a pretty good deal. And it's like a guy who has a Class A grow. So I don't have to worry about him selling this shit on Leaflink in a week and having me being pissed off because I bought it. Because that's what happens, is you buy it too cheap from the broker. And then the person who is desperate to sell this shit is getting a bunch of foreclosure notices, and they're like, oh, goddamn, fam, we got to sell this pound for $600, you know, got bills, you know. And then, like, you see it on Leaflink, and you're like, what did I do, you know? Yeah. I just personally enriched some middleman, you know?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, looking into it, the middleman really isn't that enriched. I mean, if you're living off a commission...
No, for sure. But you know what I mean?
Would be doing. There's not much overhead.
But the purchaser doesn't, you know what I'm saying? They don't give a shit about that. Not that it's cool of them or anything, but you know.
Yeah. Well, right. As a purchaser, you just want to get the best price so you can make as much profit as you can within reason to keep your store going and everybody paid. You know, I mean, that's the name of the game, to stay in it. Pay your taxes, pay your people, keep on buying weed and selling it, you know?
Did you deal with many brokers? This is a question for you too, Kyle and Kim, when you guys were purchasing. Like, did you guys deal with many? And maybe you don't have to go into names and stuff, but just like how that works. I only know a few people that are doing it where I'm like, yeah, they're doing it right. That makes sense. I see the value they bring. And you know what I mean? Like, a lot of it's wild to me.
I purchased from one single broker who was also a hired salesman for... an actual company. So like, he worked for this company but also brokered for a couple of other folks at the same time. Well, actually, take that back, there was two different ones, but both of them were also like directly employed by one of the people that they broken. So, and I had a good interaction both times. It was kind of cool because they were able to get a lot of it on like the same transport, for example. So like, you know, you're getting from like three different people, but it's all arriving at the same time, you know? So however they figured that out in metric, and just use like the same transporter to stop at all three places prior to hand or whatever. But yeah, it worked out. The prices were the same as
Yo, was it on the same manifest and stuff too? Not to cut you off.
No, it was a deal. Like okay. You just get three different transfers basically in metric, but it all came from the same transporter at the same time.
Got you. Cause that would be a huge value add, dude. If you could, if as a purchaser, if you could put together an order of products across multiple companies and it would just come to you as like, you know, one metric, you know, intake. Manifest. I guess it would still be all the different metric tags, but still, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I don't know how necessarily like, I guess I don't know what the benefit would that for that would be personally. I think I'd rather have them separated into three, just from like a payrolls or accounts receivable kind of thing, like accounts payable, like so you can see each order individually. I guess you know.
I don't know, they are.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, for sure. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. There's a few, and they're usually under processing licenses. Where you can get edibles and then multiple brands of like concentrates and vape carts and stuff like that, you know, are coming different brands, but out of one processing facility, not to name drop, you know?
No, yeah, for sure. Let's be very vague, but like what's your experience been like with that? Cause I also had pretty positive experiences with a couple brokers. I had some really negative ones with a couple too, but definitely I had some good ones.
I think mostly I've just had rumor mill about a negative one, but I've had interactions and purchased from two for sure that I can remember, and great experiences and people that, you know, again, care about your lives and you care about them and you stay in contact and network with each other. One of them's been helpful in my research to see if it's worth, you know, brokering. I think, you know, and I'm already working for a company full time. I think for me to pursue the brokerage thing, Chris, I would need more time, you know, on my hands. Like right now, I don't have the thesis published yet. You know, that includes Redemption and Josie Scogan. And that has a lot to do with like moral ethics on cannabis prohibition. And so I've got that in the works, and then I jumped in full steam ahead to help guys at Upliftin, and so, you know, I mean, it's in the works to take care of all that and see what the need is. I've got people pressuring me, come on, help me out, do this, you know, but again, like, then there's a need to have, I think, staff, because again, if you're gonna represent companies, then you want to give the attention and dedication to specific accounts. And I see that as the concern from other companies, like having brokers take their accounts on. So like concentrate lines are fully integrated companies, right? If they hired on a broker, like why they really wouldn't want an agent taking on more than just their account, because they're integrated. So you've got, you know, the edibles, the concentrates, the flower line. So that's a lot of presentation if you're really doing a sales job justice, right? You know?
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at your menu. Like, we'd sit there and go through that. And, like, as a purchaser, you're, like, going through the menu with the vendor, and they're like, oh, but what about this? And you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Because when you're fully integrated like that, there's so many and you're good business partners, you know, big business partners, you carry that whole line, you know, side by side with each other and help each other out. So I don't know. There's no time really for me with the brokerage. I wish there was, and I'd love to help the people downstate. So the other thing is the need for it is because you have these small guys that are busy in their grows doing their own grow. They've got bulk flower to sell and no time to get out on the streets and make connects to sell it. So that's what the broker's supposed to be there for, you know. I always had this vision that brokering was going to be like, you know, the grains and crops on the stock market. You know, people are looking
for sure.
Super Lemon Haze or Green Crack or Northern Lights, and you're like, oh, you know.
Yeah, you come running out with like the ticker and shit, you know.
Yeah.
Sell.
Exactly, you know, but I always dream big when it comes to cannabis. There's probably not a career that includes hemp or cannabis that I had never dreamed of having, you know?
No, for sure. And so, I guess just for clear for everyone, so you're basically doing like wholesale sales, right? So you're going out and you're meeting with basically the equivalent of what you used to do, right? And meeting with purchasers and getting the product out there and talking, selling the shit, right? That's your job at.
Yeah, that's my job at Upliftin. Yep. So I've been downstate now twice in the last month. I've done Detroit and Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti. I stopped at your buddy Casey's and Farmhouse, Grand Rapids. I was in White Cloud at Michiganja.
Nice.
Exact up in Sheboygan, stopped in Shango and Bay City. As a consumer, you know, I feel bad for the saturated market of Bay City, but as a consumer, it's like, holy shit. Like when you get over by Bay City, you're just like, woo, my small
time to shop.
To get stretched.
It's like Black Friday every day.
Right. It's like, heck yeah, Bay City.
No, Battle Creek's also a banger like that. Whenever you get down there, you can do a lot of damage with a little money at like a lot of them. GLH, Fire Station, or not Fire Station, Fire Creek.
Fire Creek. Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna be getting back down there again. That's where I want to head over to, is the southwest side of the state, more on the west side next time. So I'll be back down there mid October. We got a Camp Cannabis up in Marquette. October 6th, 7th, and 8th. If anybody downstate wants to come up to Marquette for a cold camping excursion in October, should be a pretty good Uper time campfire.
It sounds like it'll be pretty cold up there. I'm already getting cold down here a little bit.
I was going to say, I'm already ready for summer again, man. This sucks, you know?
I was driving home Sunday after the Juke Joy Jamboree. And I was not even Gaylord yet, and the trees are starting to change colors already. And then I came across the bridge and started noticing the leaves changing. I was just like, oh, man.
It's happening.
It is. It is.
No, for sure. Well, hey, why don't you give us a – we're getting – wow, we could have done this all day. We're going to – I wanted to ask you one more question, and then we'll kind of wind it down. So what's it – like, what's it like right now as far as like the market, as far as like when you're out here talking to folks? Like, I know every time we're on, every time we have an episode, it seems like for the last few months, we're like, holy shit, the price, everything's going like down. But mm-hmm. like, really, man, holy shit, the price, everything's going super down. What's it like for you? I'm not sure where you're at on wholesale, and we don't have to talk about it, but like, what kind of things do you hear from store owners? Like, what do you see as far as like the market for this stuff, and like what's it like, because you're coming into it like, so your purchasing period and your wholesale period have kind of been at the tail end of like the really high flower pricing, and then like into the precipitous fall of just like where we're at now, you know? So it'd be interesting to get your perspective on it. And just I'm wondering, and then also if you could clear up, that's something that I've been wondering, have you seen that the prices have been a little bit stabilized and higher in places like the UP, or like specifically like the Western UP and like border areas and places that have more of a consumer base that's not, you know what I'm saying, that most of those people aren't from Michigan, they can't be as picky about shit, they're just driving there, you know?
Yeah, right. 80% are from Wisconsin there that visit Iron Mountain Rise.
Yeah. So what are you seeing out there? What are people telling you?
Yeah, so, you know, it's been a challenge to flip the script and jump into sales and head downstate. And, you know, I've been pretty lucky to have good friends in the industry that give me a little nudges and little guidance to where I should go and who I should try to seek out and talk want to. And otherwise I've been on my own, and you know, it's just cold calling. You look on Lara or, you know, any other kind of tools that you can use to find what dispensaries are out there and which ones are close to borders. You figure like Iron Mountain, they're probably doing quite a bit of business, you know? So those are the ones that I would seek out and try to find a person to contact and get some of our samples into their hands. You know, Upliftin's a premium brand, the only processor in the UP, and they have a great product. So it's not hard to get it in front of people's hands. And they have a patent on their half and half jars where you can get diamonds on the inside and live resin or cured resin on the other side. And, you know, it's part of the reason why I jumped on board with these guys, because I can really stand behind the products that they have. They're high quality. And then, you know, it's just pretty brilliant that they would think to patent a half and half jar like that. And so I'm just down there, you know, hitting the House of Danks and the Stickies and the, you know, Bizanzos and all the big guys, and just hoping that somebody wants to play ball and become partners. And, you know, and you do what you can. You get down there, you bring them some free samples and do it metric compliant, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's funny to me when everybody's like, oh, they better be on a manifest. And it's like, yeah, they will be, because I just left a position like yours for the last year. And, you know, I've seen it. I see the messiness that they can be sometimes, you know.
It's weird that some of them like won't take it though, because I'm saying like some of these people, like I've known for a long time, I'm like, bro, I've literally sold you trash bags full of weed before, like a dirty cash, but they're like, ah, I don't know if I can have my bud tender meet you outside for your out of metric sample, bro. I'm like, it's like an eighth, man. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just adults giving adults cannabis,
like,
man.
Chill the fuck out.
21 and up, it's free.
Yeah, it's literally same guy 5 years ago. Like, here's the cash. You know, just like, thanks for the weed. You know, just. But yeah, no, it's probably good that that's changed.
Yeah, you know, I think some people are just afraid too. They don't want
to. No, they should be. Follow the rules. Get a good idea.
I got a question for you, Kim. I got a question for you. Now, before you leave the UP and drive like all the way down there, how do you leave with like that much product, or how do you do your manifests all ahead of time, or like on the go? Because I imagine you see shops on the way and you're like, shit, I should take that one. And then you just make a new manifest on the spot, and then...
No, you know, so that's the thing that I love about Upliftin is the metric gal over there is Abby, and she's a young girl, and she's read the, you know, metric laws, and she knows what she's supposed to do. And, you know, to be compliant, I logistically planned out. And, you know, one thing is, too, is like we're trying to get some sales generated. So I'm not trying to give away all of our product either.
Sure. Yeah.
So people have the agency to send me back an email. And I'm nice about it. I say, hey, send me your license number. I'm coming down state. I can look up their license number, right? You know that. We know that. I don't need them to give it to me, but I'm requesting that they send it to me. Because when they do, I say, okay, then I'll bring you the free samples. Maybe we can do business, you know? Like, and that's my hope, to get in the door, to shake a hand, for me to show them the product in person. You know, like, so there was a broker selling their product a year ago, because same situation. These guys, you know, they did nurture and build some relationships with Upper Michigan dispensaries, but they didn't have the time. They have family men. They didn't have time to be downstate nourishing relationships. So they had a broker who wasn't doing them much justice, you know? And so to bring me on and have me start, you know, moving product for them is what we needed to do. And cool. So, and then finally on this isn't the last thing I'll say about it, but when I was buying from them last year and their patented half and half jars came in to Rise, they were on two separate metric tags, and it turned out to be a big, huge headache, okay? But
I was going to ask, what's that like for the retailers when they get it?
Yeah, so last year it was a headache, but Sid over at Rise is a pretty smart guy, and There's with new metric tags, you can just marry the two batch tags into one metric tag. And so Sid and I had learned that through metric. And
yeah, shout out to the homie Sid, super smart on that.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Sid. And, you know, so Sid just do screenshots of a SOP on it, get it taken care of, marry the two tags into one. And we had consulted with Nick and showed him that that was possible. He just did it at his facility, married the two tags. So then it went to the facilities on one metric. And now, you know, now it's easy peasy. We've got people all the time riding to Uplift and like all over. I mean, downstate, even in the UP, when Rise runs out of the 5 gram banger jars, like instantly, they don't even let it go 24 hours. The customers are writing the website saying Rise doesn't have your product. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, they're that dedicated to these products. It's a good quality product.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, that's, thanks for clearing that up too. Cause I'd wondered that as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that must be a compliance nightmare. You know what I mean? Is it always the same strain, or is it just, or you know what I'm saying? Like, are they different strains usually, or is it like the Diamonds of White Widow and then like the Batter of White Widow? You know what I mean?
So it's both. You know, so sometimes you could get like Sour Animal on one side, Diamonds, and then on the other side, maybe, you know, Sour Amnesia or whatever. Yeah, I don't want to say strains right now.
Just we're saying like hypotheticals. Yeah,
strains right now are ones that I shouldn't mention, but I'm super excited about coming out. Like, I just hope people like get on board to see, you know, I've reached out to a lot of the big guys, and the price is very fair for the product at hand, you know, very fair. As someone who's bought and purchased products over the last year, you know, I stand behind the price. It's very fair. It's not hard at all to turn a fair profit too.
Killer.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah, no. So I think that's awesome. You know, this has been good, good kind of like, definitely some interesting perspectives on the market. And I think, we're just super stoked to see you doing some sales and being able to kind of get around more and kind of see more of the state and shit and, all that. So Kyle, you got any final thoughts, and we'll kind of have everybody do like a little goodbye tour here and.
Yeah, well, we definitely appreciate you stopping by and taking the time to be on the show. It's always great to connect with our industry friends in the UP, especially on the cultivation and processing side, because just like the beer industry, you know, there's a lot of really small batch craft quality product that comes out of the UP. And I'm excited for you to be able to bring this closer to our area. Hopefully you'll be in Lansing and Grand Rapids area. I'd love to check the stuff out. We appreciate you being here. It's been a good time.
Thanks, Kyle. I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome.
For sure.
I love it. I love it downstate. You know, it's kind of like a dream. So it's been a long time coming to be able to run around down there. I've been back and forth down there for the last couple years now. So it's just exciting. I like the southwest corner. It's warmer in the winter. It's good times.
For sure. Well, thanks so much for being on the show, Kim. It's been awesome having you as a friend the last year and getting to know you and getting to come up and see you in the UP and you know, running into you at events downstate and everything. It's been just this is kind of what the industry is about, is like you said, people who are aligned, finding each other and working to support each other. And we're just happy to be able to help out. And we're so appreciative for all of your help. And we're glad to have you on. So thank you very much for being on the show, Kyle. Thank you for co-hosting, and everybody, thank you for watching. We'll have a nice show here in a couple of weeks, and we'll be rolling out the next, campaign ad here next week, and I also believe a short trajectory of time we're gonna have some yard signs, and we'll do an announcement for that, and that will also be a fundraiser that we're gonna use for Glenn. So we're gonna make some money trolling for justice.
For justice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So. Cool. Well, thanks everybody. We really appreciate everybody watching today, and have a nice afternoon, everyone.